This morning, our speaker is Rabbi Rami Shapiro. We welcome Rabbi Shapiro as a speaker of UUFM each month. Rabbi Rami currently co-directs One River Wisdom School, blogs at rabbiramiblogspot.com, writes a regular column for Spirituality and Health magazine called Roadside Assistance for the Spiritual Traveler, and he hosts the weekly internet radio show, How to Be a Holy Rascal, on Unity Online Radio. His newest book, Perennial Wisdom for the Spiritually Independent, will be published in September. Today, Rabbi Rami will speak on the topic, The Way of Forgiveness. Let us welcome Rabbi Rami.
Morning. So you all have the handout? I don't usually do handouts, but I thought I would today. I want to start out, I want to teach you the song. If you can take this, you might be able to do that. I didn't even think about it. So you can hear how it goes, and if you want to, not that song. Not that song. No, you'll have to totally ad-lib this. So if you don't want to do it, don't worry about it. You see it on the top, it says, die, da die, da die, that song?
Yeah.
All right, so this is a classic Hasidic Jewish mystical song that's been translated into English, except for the opening lines, which are in gibberish. So a lot of Jewish music has that, just the die, da die sound to it, just for melody's sake and not for meaning's sake, not for, you know, philosophical content. So I'm going to show you how this goes, and then you'll join in with me when you get it. So the first part is, die, da da die, da da die, da die, die, I am alive. Die, da da die, da da die, da die, die, I am alive. Die, da da die, da da die, da die, die, I am alive. I'm alive. All right, so that's the first part. So let's just do it one more time. Yai, did it, I did it, I did, I die, I am alive. Yai, did it, I did, I die, I am alive. Yai, did it, I did, I die, I am alive. I'm alive. And who is this aliveness I am? And who is this aliveness I am? And who is this aliveness I am? If not the Holy Blessed One. That's all then. Let's do it again. I did it, I did it, I did, I die, I am alive. I did it, I did it, I did, I die, I am alive. I did it, I did it, I did, I die, I am alive. I'm alive. And who is this aliveness I am? And who is this aliveness I am? And who is this aliveness I am, if not the Holy Blessed One? It didn't sound too bad. You sounded great. Figure that out. So I wanted to start with this because this is the lead-in to the whole idea of forgiveness. And in the Jewish calendar, you know, in the Muslim calendar, we just finished the month of Ramadan. And that rolls this year because Ramadan moves all around the Gregorian calendar. The Jewish calendar has a leap month, so it doesn't go too far off from the Gregorian. But this year, Ramadan rolls right into the Hebrew month of Elul. And Elul is the last month of the Jewish calendar. And that's why next month will be, you know, Rosh Hashanah, the new year. And the month of Ramadan is devoted to fasting and to the greater jihad, the greater struggle with all of your negativity. And you try to live one month out of the year without anger and greed and arrogance and all that stuff. The month of Elul is devoted to forgiveness. So it seems to me it's a nice roll-in. You know, I know we have all the flags of the different traditions, you know, in the church. But we don't do anything with those different traditions. We just hang the flags. So, you know, I don't know if you did anything for Ramadan. I had a complete Ramadan agenda. Didn't do it, but I just had it there. It was my equivalent of a flag. But Elul is another opportunity to draw from the wisdom of the world's religious traditions and use that wisdom to deepen your own spirituality. And I'm going to teach you how to do that today. And it starts with this song, because the song first affirms that you're alive as an individual. You're a unique manifestation of reality. You've never existed before. I mean, you may believe in reincarnation, and so you may believe you've had past lives, but not this life, right? So this life is absolutely unique, and it should be celebrated. But then it asks the question in the second verse, but who is this aliveness I am? Is it really just me, or am I part of something greater? And the song answers it by saying no, that the aliveness that each one of us is actually a singular aliveness. It's a singular reality. Here in the Jewish Hasidic tradition, calling it the Holy Blessed One, God. But you know, you could think of nature, you can think of reality, you could think of whatever you want to think of. But the idea is that we are not separate. We are all part of a unified whole. And because we're all part of a unified whole, we've got to constantly struggle against those aspects of our living that break the whole into disparate and desperate parts. And forgiveness is one way to do that. So the month of Elul, the last month of the Jewish calendar, is devoted to just that. You start every morning with the blowing of the shofar. We're going to end the talk today with the blowing of the shofar. Priscilla is an expert shofar blower. And she didn't know that until about 20 minutes ago, but she is. And she's going to bring the kids back in, and we're going to blow the shofar. So that's how we're going to end the talk. But every day during the month of Elul, you would blow this. And the sound of the shofar, this is the ram's horn. The sound of the ram's horn is supposed to wake you up to that aliveness. And if you look in the handout, it causes a shift in consciousness from what the Jewish tradition calls mochin dekatnut, narrow mind, to mochin degadlut, spacious mind. In the Buddhist tradition, you use small mind and big mind is the way Genpo Roshi talks about it, small mind and big mind. It's the same idea. It's the mind, the narrow mind that thinks you are apart from the rest of creation, and the spacious mind that realizes that you are a part of the universe, part of creation. It's not that one is true and the other is false. Yesterday I spent the day at the Holy Family Catholic Church teaching, and one of it was the sixth annual centering prayer gathering, and they root their teachings in the teachings of Father Thomas Keating, who's a dear teacher of mine and a friend of mine. But he talks about the false self and the true self. I don't like that terminology. There's nothing false about narrow mind. There's nothing false about your ego. There's nothing false about your sense of uniqueness. That's true. It's just not absolutely true, but it's relatively true. So you want to affirm that. I mean, if we were all totally empty of self, with that small s, narrow mind self, we couldn't function, you know. And we'd, you know, I don't know where you're going for lunch today, but you'd all go to lunch wherever it's going to be. When it comes time to pay, since we're all one, you know, we all put our hand into Jill's purse and use her credit card to pay for it, because you know we're all one. Doesn't make a difference whose name is on the credit card. So, you know, there are real differences, right? When you go to bed at night, and if you're of a certain age and you leave your teeth in a jar, in the morning you want to put your teeth back in and not somebody else's teeth. Yeah, well, if it's only eighth or ninth grade, you got some time to go. But Kitty, on the other hand, we're getting close. It's time for the jar soon. So, now, eat a lot of carrots, you'll be okay. Yeah, that's right. But she'll be able to see which teeth are hers. So there's nothing wrong with that narrow self. It's just part of a larger reality. So the more, you know, the more trapped we get in narrow self, the more difficult our lives become. So we've got to constantly make that shift from narrow to spacious. When we are in spacious mind, Mochin de Gadlut, we naturally treat each other according to the golden rule. We naturally love our neighbor as ourself because we realize that our neighbor is part of ourself and we are part of them. So the ethics that we want naturally arise from Mochin de Gadlut, spacious mind, but we get trapped in narrow mind, and so we have to awaken to spacious mind. And one way to do it is to sing this song and to ask us to say, yeah, it's great, I'm alive, but then I'm more than just this egoic alive. There's a bigger aliveness, and that's the one, the divine reality of which we're all part. And also to blow the shofar. So that's part of the two of the things that you do to make the month of Elul work. There's one more which we'll come to in a minute. But behind all of this is one other philosophical point that I want to raise, and that's on the second column of this. And I didn't take my clock, so I have no idea when I started and no idea when I'm supposed to stop talking. So when it gets near the end, we're going to blow the shofar, Jill, just sort of wave at me and go get Priscilla, and then, okay. So we'll just do it by the clock. So the other thing, and other thing you're supposed to do, is when you get up in the morning, if you don't sing this song and you don't blow the shofar, I'll give you another thing to do. And it's this daily prayer, I guess. It's not a good word. Maybe it's more like an affirmation, or maybe it's just a reminder. I don't know what word you want to use. But it's in the light and the gray type here in the second column. I'll read it for you in Hebrew, and then we'll talk about it in a second. Elohai nishama shenatata bi tohorahi. Now, I chant this every morning. I'll just give it to you what it sounds like. You don't have to learn it, but it's Elohai nishama shenatata bi tohorahi. Elohai nishema shenatata bi tohorahi. So you say that every morning. It's part of my daily practice. But in Elul, you want to say that to remind yourself of its message. So what it says is Elohai nishema. So Elohai is literally my God. When you use the El word for God, you're talking about the innate creativity of the universe. That's really what you're speaking to, because it says in the Bible, in the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim created heavens and the earth, and in the Jewish mystical tradition, Elohim is considered equivalent of nature. So you're giving thanks to the universe, in a sense here, and you're saying, so my God, or you know, this larger reality, the breath or the soul that you breathe into me, the aliveness that we had a moment ago in the Die to Die song, the aliveness that you place inside of me, she, and it's always in Judaism, all the spiritual language is always feminine. So there's five levels of consciousness. They're all feminine. All the language around spirituality is feminine gendered language. So this consciousness that you breathe in me, this aliveness that you breathe into me, she is tohora, pure, unstained, sinless, unstainable, and I don't know what you say, unsinned, right? There's no way you can pervert the pure consciousness that you are, no matter what you do. And that's the approach here, is that no matter how your narrow mind plays out your day, no matter how much pain and suffering you may cause, the deeper reality that is this aliveness that you are is not sullied. So in the morning, when you chant this, Elohai nishama shenatata bi tohorahi, you're tapping in, you're remembering, wait a minute, I really screwed up yesterday. Totally screwed up yesterday. I will have to bear the consequences of that, right? If I hurt you yesterday and I see you today, you know, if you're holding on to that, you know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, if you're holding on to that, you've got some issue with me now, I have to deal with that today. But I don't have to deal with it today the way I would have dealt with it yesterday. So you're reminding yourself that I'm not what I was. I am always pure. I am always this divine essence, however you want to use language here. I'm always this pure soul stuff, and I can always engage today from that, even if I'm dealing with the consequences of yesterday. I can always engage today from that sense of purity, and I don't have to carry the narrowness of yesterday into today. Does that make sense? You follow that idea? I don't even know if you're awake. I can't hear it. No heads are moving one way or the other. All right, try this. Just go yes. So why do you need to do all of this for forgiveness? Two reasons. Normally, when we think of forgiveness, we think of forgiving others. That's not what the month of Elul is for. When you forgive somebody else, you take the high ground. Yes, you hurt me. Yes, I could hold a grudge. But no, I, in my infinite wisdom and grace, I forgive you. Right. That's obnoxious and and probably just an expression of narrow mind. What Elul is for, what the month of Elul is for, is asking for forgiveness. If someone asks you, and the asker is supposed to initiate this, if someone asks you for forgiveness, then yes, you forgive them, if you can, right? Jesus says, you know, if someone doesn't forgive you, you should ask them 7 times 70, I think. Isn't that what it says? What is it? Someone know the text? I think it's 7 times, 70 times, something like that. In the Jewish tradition, 3 times. Either Jesus had problems with math, or he was just more grace-filled than the rest of the Jews. But the Jewish tradition says 3 times. So if I ask you to forgive me the first time and you go, no, then I get to ask you again, assuming I'm sincere, and then I get to come back and ask you again, and the tradition says I can bring friends to sort of pressure you. Anyway. If you still say no, then I get to do it one more time. I can bring more friends with me, and I can put pressure. But if you refuse to forgive me after 3 times, and I'm sincere in my request, and I've changed my life around, so I'm not simply continuing the same hurtful behavior. But if I make a change, and I ask you 3 times, and you continue to say no, then according to the tradition, God forgives you, and the other person has to carry the problem, and you're free from it. So it's just 3 times. But this is what you do during the month of Elul. You have to shift from narrow mind to spacious mind. So you can do it with the Die to Die song in the morning. You can do it in reminding yourself that I'm, behind, beneath, permeating the narrow consciousness is this spacious, pure consciousness. You can also do it by asking people for forgiveness. The ask is humbling. To go to someone, sometimes I think it's worse with someone you know than someone you don't, but then you're supposed to do it with everybody. So you go to the clerks and the cashier in Kroger's or Publix or something, and there's a formula that you're supposed to say. It's not supposed to be formulaic, but it just gives you words so you know what to say. And you say, if I have hurt you in any way, advertently or inadvertently, consciously or unconsciously, I ask for your forgiveness. Did I say that right? Well, okay, I didn't. It's on the bottom of the page. If I've hurt you in any way, knowingly or unknowingly, advertently or inadvertently, I ask for your forgiveness. Again, you don't have to use the formula, but if you don't know what to say, this is what you say. I guarantee you, if you're in line at Kroger's and you get up to the cashier and you say that to the person, they won't have a clue what you're talking about. You can try the reform approach to this, which is what I do during the month of Elul. Use the self-checkout. Then, you don't have to talk to the computer. But there are people that you come into contact with who you may be very close to, but maybe not. Like just people that you see all the time, coworkers or friends, but people who are less involved in your life than those, but you do see them regularly. You're supposed to go to them and say, if I have hurt you in any way, knowingly or unknowingly, advertently or inadvertently, I ask for your forgiveness. It is a humbling act. And the idea is that as you humble narrow mind, spacious mind awakens. Now, I'm 62. I've been doing this for a long time. And I promise it works. You don't have to be Jewish to make this work. Just going to somebody and asking for their forgiveness is humbling and therefore liberating at the same time, regardless of what they say. I mean, mostly they say, you know, they forgive you. You're not supposed to go to them and say, well, if I hurt you in any way, I know I did, because when I ran over your dog and then, you know, I tried to bury it and you didn't know. And if you go and tell the person all the things that you did to them and that they don't even, that they're not even aware of, that's a bad idea. So this is not like 12-step where you actually tell people what you did, unless it's going to cause them unnecessary suffering. Just assume it's going to cause them unnecessary suffering and use the generic if. Right? You know you must have done something. They know what you did. They assume you know what you did. All you're doing is humbling yourself by asking. And it's the humbling that is the liberation. It's the humbling that shifts us from narrow mind to spacious mind. So, okay, Jill's going. So this is what we're going to do. The kids are going to come in. I want to just try this. Turn to somebody and say to them, because you can read this. Try it. Just see. Somebody you know, your kids or whatever. If I've hurt you in any way, go ahead, try it. And then do it back. So we'll talk more about this during the breakout session, talk back session, but it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. So when the kids come in, I'm going to explain what the shofar is, and Priscilla's going to blow it in her expert way. This is, you are like my quick beta test. I'm going on Wednesday, I'm leaving for Colorado, I'm going to the Sounds True Wake Up Festival, where I'm teaching every morning from 7 to 8, something like that. I'm taking them through Elul practice. And then every afternoon, we're talking about death. The two don't necessarily go together, but that's how it is. So let's bring the kids. The kids can come back up, right? You can all sit down like you do for a story for all ages. And so this is called a shofar, not a chauffeur, like someone who drives you around. This is not driving Miss Priscilla. This is, a shofar is a ram's horn. It's actually the horn of, you know, like that. Jews do have horns, right? So it's the horn of a ram, and when the horn falls off or the ram dies, they take the horn, they clean it out, and it becomes like a trumpet. And when you blow this, and Jews blow this every day for a month, and then at our New Year celebrations, when you blow this, it's supposed to wake you up to being the nicest person you can be. All right, so you're gonna blow it with all your, you know, put your heart into that, all right? Keep going. Let's see how long you can hold it. Yeah. Back and be the nicest.